Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Into the 99 podcast, where we've got 99 cards because Commander's number one. I am one of your hosts, Daniel. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Slothy. Slothy, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, thanks. How about yourself?
I'm doing really good. As everyone probably noticed, we didn't do an episode last week. Just some things came up for everyone, and pretty much no one was available to do it. All three of us had life things happening, so really sorry that we missed an episode and stuff, but we are back. We should be back to our normal good old schedule, so thanks for bearing with us. And yeah, it's Canada Day weekend, July 4th weekend, and everyone, so happy that for everyone. Hopefully people got to spend some time with family and doing some things they like and weren't stuck at work. We'll jump right into it today because I've got a really fun deck that I wanted to talk on, and I've got lots of good opinions. So first and foremost, thanks so much for listening. Check out Abyss Proxy Shop if you are looking for any of the higher priced cards or wanted to upgrade something like this. This week's deck is going to be really, really budget friendly. It's one of my current favorite decks, to be honest. I saw this card during spoiler season and I just thought it was silly, and it stuck with me, and it's one I keep reaching for. So yeah, without further ado, I'll jump right into this one. It's Glunch the Bestower. So Glunch is from the new Baldur's Gate series. It's a Selesnya commander, one colorless, one green, and one white. It's a legendary 0/5 jellyfish, so a pretty big body on a creature, and it has flying, which is pretty good for blocking. The beginning of your end step, choose a player. They put 2/1/1 counters on a creature they control. Choose a second player to draw a card, then choose a third player to create true treasure tokens. Two treasure tokens. Why is it so hard to say?
I quite like this card.
Oh, it's been really, really fun.
Oh, yeah.
So first off, I want to jump into just why I like group hugs so much. You see so much nonstop. People are asking power levels. People are trying to find what fits into the meta. And group hug fits in at any table. There's no amount, good or bad, weak or strong decks that isn't going to have fun with a group hug deck, right? So it's really fun to jump into a new pod with, or people you don't know with. And sometimes it is just fun to see other people's decks go off, right? A lot of people play EDH for different reasons. My specific reason is I just like to hang out with my buddies. I like seeing card interactions. I love seeing how people build decks. So group hug has always had a special place for me because of that, because then I'm just watching other people's decks go off in ways they probably never have before. But yeah, this card is just so silly. It does a lot. So we'll go over his three abilities and what I think of them as well. So the 2/1/1 counters on a creature they control is really big. It's very good to help buff up a weaker player if they are getting attacked, giving them, even if they have only a 1/1 Land of War out, making it a 3/3 makes people a little more hesitant to attack them, right?
Okay.
Yeah. A second player to draw a card is awesome. So we can draw a card at end step, and I love built-in draw to a commander. But we can also help someone out who's stalled out, right? Everyone's seen it before where someone just, they're not getting the lands they need. They're not playing anything. They're clearly in the worst position at the table. I like being able to help people get past that because, everyone looks forward to playing the decks they build, right? Everyone builds decks for those reasons. So it's such a bad time. We've all been flooded with lands or had it so that we can't actually play anything, and it's a bummer. And then you choose a third player to create two treasure tokens. Now, this, I think, is the best ability because it stops what I was just talking about. We don't have a very intensive land base in this deck because we don't need it. We have the ability to get our colored mana every end step that we have our commander out, which is really, really easy to do. And we can also give that to other players. So if someone's playing a five-color deck, someone's doing some Morophon shenanigans, or they're doing an Ur Dragon, giving those two treasure tokens is a world of difference in a game, especially when this commander can come down as early as turn two.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think that this really, honestly, the whole budget of this deck, it's at $143. You could probably trim that down even more if you needed to. I love having a deck like this just on hand to play for anyone. For everyone who's listened a long time, that's how I met Brian, was playing group hug decks, and Brian's one of my best friends, so we always sit and play stuff like this. I love group hug. I'm gonna jump in through my land base really quick because there's nothing special in it. I've got a command tower, and Evolving Wilds, I've got 15 forests, 10 plains, a grasslands, Selesnya Sanctuary, a Terramorphic, and then I have like two lands that are worth talking about. One, you could pull out of the deck as it's like pretty much like 10% of the cost of the deck. It's a Maze of Ith, which is untapped target attacking creature, prevent all combat damage that we be dealt to and dealt by that creature this turn, which I honestly think is probably necessary in this deck if you keep giving plus one counters. They will eventually swing them at you.
Mm-hmm. Eventually they're going to have to.
Yeah, right? This is Glunch. I call this deck my Glunch time deck, but really, like, this is a second place deck. I don't know how you would really win in a deck like this. You could put win conditions in, and you could put like Approach the Second Sun or that kind of stuff. I initially, in the first version of this, put in Divine Intervention, which is where the game ends in a draw, and no one seemed to like that.
Yeah,
so
makes sense.
Yeah, I've taken that one out, and now it's just my second place deck. But the other one is Mokoro Koro, Center of the Sea. And I actually love this card. It's a legendary land, taps for colorless, and you can pay two, tap it, each player draws a card. That's just a great ability to have on a land. It doesn't come in tapped. It gives you colorless, but again, we've got so much access to colored mana in this deck with our commander doubling up treasure tokens. Now, you could go a very different route than I went with this and make Glunch just a token doubling treasure monster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like Glunch would be very, very good if you were to put like the Anointed Processions and make it just an enchantment themed deck where you're constantly giving yourself treasure tokens. You could do that. That's not what I did. This is just all shenanigans. So we'll start off in our, we'll go through artifacts first if you want to jump into them, Sloppy.
Absolutely. So the first artifact is Arcane Signet. Tap to add one mana of any color in your commander's color identity.
Yeah. Nice and easy. Coveted Jewel, a card I really, really like. Six mana for an artifact. When it enters, you draw three cards. That is a great ability. Taps for three mana of any one color, another great ability. Then whenever one or more creatures an opponent controls attacks you and isn't blocked, that player draws three cards, gains control of it, and untaps it. I love politics with this card. I love the, hey, can I hit you with a 1-1 so I can get the Coveted Jewel? I love those interactions. I've said it many times before, Group Hug really gets people talking at a table, right? Politics gets everyone discussing it and maybe breaks through some of that initial awkwardness with a new play group. I love the, well, I'd really, really like to draw some cards. Can I get this one? Because everyone knows the general joke of like, oh, he swung at me on turn one. I'm going to never forget this, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's good to just be able to excuse why you're swinging at them. Sloppy, I gotta hit you for, but it's only gonna be for three. I just really want the jewel.
Yeah,
I love cards like this.
One of my favorite things about this card too is that it comes into play untapped.
Yeah,
so if you can hold up six mana, you're gonna get three of that back.
Well, and the three card draw on the end of the battlefield is just always a phenomenal ability, right? It's gonna refill our absolutely. Hand we have a lot of access to draw in this deck. I thought about a Reliquary Tower, but we also have so much mana that we can play it out. It's fun.
Oh, yeah.
You want this next one?
Yeah. Then we've got Horn of Greed. Three mana for an artifact. Whenever a player plays a land, that player draws a card.
I love that card. Love the card in like every deck.
Yeah, very good group hug.
Yeah. It's not technically landfall, but it's close enough.
Yeah. Keeps things moving.
Yeah, and then I put this next card in every deck that I can put it in. I get criticized all the time for it, but I love Howling Mine. We've got a two-mana artifact. At the beginning of each player's draw step, if it's untapped, that player draws an additional card. If you have a way to tap it, then sure, but that's not really what it's for in this kind of a deck. Just card draw to get the table going.
Yeah. Then we've got Pendant of Prosperity. Three mana. Enters the battlefield under the control of an opponent of your choice. And you can tap two and tap it to draw a card. Then you may put a land card from your hand onto the battlefield. Pendant of Prosperity's owner draws a card, then that player may put a land card from their hand onto the battlefield.
Just another great politics card that I love.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fun to give to people.
Oh, absolutely.
We have Sol Ring because almost every deck should have a Sol Ring if you can. They're so cheap right now. They've printed it into Oblivion.
Mm-hmm. And then Spectral Searchlake, three mana. Tap to choose a player. That player adds one mana of any color they choose.
Yeah, I like that one. Again, helping the table out.
Yeah.
You can choose yourself. Oh, that's another thing with Glunch as well. You can choose yourself for any of these. So you do have to leave one person out every time. It's kind of a bummer that way. I wish there was a fourth choose a player thing. But that's okay. You gotta, like I said, you gotta get talking to the table. You have to do that. So Glunch does let you choose yourself as the player for any of your targets, and so does the Spectral Searchlight. You can choose yourself, but you can also help other people out. The next one is maybe one of the best cards in the deck because it fixes the problem I just said. We have Psionic Resonator. 2-mana artifact with 2 and a tap. You copy target triggered ability you control. You can choose new targets for it. So this is basically only to copy Glunch. We want to be able to give out as many of these things as we can. So somebody might get 4 treasures. They might get 4 1-1 counters, and they might get 2 draws, right? Or we might just say, I don't need it this turn. I'm stocked full of cards. Everyone get 2-1-1. Slothy get 2-1-1s, 2 treasures. Brian draw 2 cards. Like, I really like Psionic Resonator. It's fun to share the wealth around.
Yeah, it's very, very big. Then there's Temple Bell, 3-mana, tap, each player draws a card.
I don't know why more people don't play Temple Bell. I love Temple Bell.
It's because it's each player.
I don't know. I find cards like this just really get you a lot of goodwill. I like to hold it up right until my turn starts to tap it, but then it gives me the, people can be like, hey, Daniel, can you tap it so I can draw a card? And I'm like, you know what? No problem.
Yeah.
I love it. The next one I also really, really like. We're making so many treasures, and my favorite way to politics this card is, I've already got the treasures. I'm already making the treasures. Regardless of if you do it, you should do it. And it's Tempting Contract. It's 4-mana. At the beginning of your upkeep, each opponent may create a treasure token. For each opponent who does, you create a treasure token. And I like to tell them, like, listen, like, you give me treasures, maybe I'll give you treasures at the end step, you know? Maybe I'll give you a draw. What do you need? I love how much you can talk to the table with this deck.
Absolutely.
I love Tempting Contract. So silly.
And the final artifact is Victory Chimes, 3-mana. Untap Victory Chimes during each other player's untap step. Then you can tap it to have a player of your choice add a colorless mana.
Yep. I love it. I just give everyone Victory Chimes even if they don't want it.
Yeah.
If Mana Burn was a thing, it would still be fun. We'll go through the enchantments now, because again, there's not very many of them. They're probably the ones you can kind of guess already. We've got Dictate of Karametra. 3, green, with flash. Whenever a player taps a land for mana, that player adds 1 mana to his or her mana pool of any mana it produced. So we're just doubling up mana right off the bat.
And then we've got Ghostly Prison. 2 and a white. Creatures can't attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature they control that's attacking.
That's very important in this deck. We are going to get hated eventually.
Yeah. Eventually the game does have to end and they will turn on you.
The fun thing about a group hug deck is, like I said, it makes decks explode. They go off in ways, like I said, that they generally just never do, right? An Ur-Dragon deck that has access to all their lands tapping for 2 mana and is getting like 2 treasure tokens at someone's end step is going to go off really, really, really well, and it's going to be exciting. Big, splashy EDH plays. The downside to that is big, splashy EDH plays and like 30 dragons on the table, and you're going to get just smashed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you're going to eventually die. So trying to protect yourself a little bit is nice. We've got Heartbeat of Spring. It's 2 and a green. Whenever a player taps a land for mana, they add 1 mana of any type that land produced. I guess I should also say quickly, too, nothing is stopping you from just constantly putting the 2-1-1s on Glunch. He is a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And you could eventually just kill people with Glunch as like a 40-40 flyer or 40-45 flyer, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. It would just be brutal.
Be kind of funny, actually.
Especially with Psionic Resonator.
Yeah, Voltron Glunch, make him +4/+4 every turn.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
I might make another Glunch deck.
Next up, we've got Mirari's Wake. 3, a green and a white. Creatures you control get +1/+1 whenever you tap a land for mana. Add 1 mana of any type that land produced.
Yep.
Good card.
Yes, I love it. This next one is an MVP card in this deck, and it's phenomenal how underrated this card is. So it's Noble Heritage, and it's a card I suggest so many people put in decks. 1 colorless, 1 white for a legendary enchantment background. Commander creatures you own have, when this creature enters and at the beginning of your upkeep, each player may put 2-1-1 counters on a creature they control. For each opponent who does, you gain protection from that player until your next turn. This card is really, really fun because who doesn't want those 2-1-1s? You're just the group hug player. But people forget that you have protection. And I was playing against a Spellslinging deck that got 10 extra turns in a row. And they're just like, okay, well, I'll just kill you. And I was like, all right, for sure. And then they just kept trying to kill me, but couldn't target me, couldn't damage me. couldn't enchant me. It was just really, really funny that this Noble Heritage and the two, because they'd only done it once before they took their turns. This Noble Heritage kept me safe, like, for 10 turns straight. I love this card.
Absolutely. It's kind of a pretty big sleeper card from that set, too.
Oh, I just, yeah, it's really cool. But it's doing what our commander's already doing, right? It's very on theme for what we're trying to do, which is just hand out these 1/1 counters to anyone who wants them. We love giving people the choice of them. I really, really like this. Again, you've got to talk to the table in this. You can't just like be like, okay, well, no, you have to say, hey, do you want this? Hey, do you want this? Come on, do you want this? I'm not doing anything. You got to politics this. You got to say you're not a threat, because really you're not, unless you're making Mega Flying Glunch.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back.
Ever thought modern video games should be more interesting? At The Gaming Blender, we take randomized genres, mechanics, and make a new game every episode.
I've added permadeath.
We have a survival game of a hardcore simulation, which could be House Flipper, and with the permadeath of XCOM. Then that all has to be an action adventure.
Yes.
Ooh, dear.
Yes.
And sometimes it doesn't quite work.
And you have a construction off over the course of the narrative.
A construction off? The way we can do this is that we ditch your idea entirely.
Entirely.
Check out The Gaming Blender on all your favorite podcast platforms now.
The next enchantment is Rites of Flourishing, 2 green. At the beginning of each player's draw step, that player draws an additional card, and each player may pay an additional land on each of their turns.
Love it. Love putting this in every deck I can.
Yeah, it's a decent one.
We also have Tenuous Truce, which is a card I've really, really enjoyed from the new Capenna set.
Mm-hmm.
1 white, if you didn't know the set, the artwork gives away. New Capenna is very distinct in what it looks like. But 1 colorless, enchantment aura, you enchant an opponent. At the beginning of an enchanted opponent's end step, you and that player each draw a card. When you attack an enchanted opponent or a planeswalker they control, or they attack you or a planeswalker you control, you sacrifice the truce. This is a great card because most people aren't going to be swinging at you early. It can come down very fast, and you can just say, listen, I'm helping us both draw.
Yeah, it'll incentivize people not attacking you because extra cards are always nice.
Yeah, and there's, like I said, generally I'm giving this to whoever I'm giving the 1-1 counters, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't want to get smashed by them.
Mm-hmm. And the final enchantment is Vernal Equinox, 3 green. Any player may play creatures and enchantments anytime he or she could play an instant. So creatures and enchantments have flash.
Love it.
This is what I don't think I've ever seen.
Not many people play a card like this. Yeah, I initially picked this up for Tuvasa, and I've just been putting it in so many, like, it's in all my group hug decks for sure. But I love this card. It's really cool. It, again, enables a lot of weird shenanigans in games.
Oh, absolutely.
We'll go through, I'm going to do sorceries next. So we'll go, I've got Chain of Acid. I think Chain of Acid is a really fair removal card and a really silly one too. 3 green, you destroy target non-creature permanent. Then that permanent's controller can copy it and choose a new target for that copy. So it's really, really easy to bounce this around the board. If you get rid of something big, then they can say, well, I'm going to get rid of your card then. And it's really good for clearing the board out, but also for politicsing, just... please don't hit my thing, but I've got to get rid of this. I like it. I like Chain of Acid.
Yeah. And next up is Clear the Land, 2 green. Each player reveals the top 5 cards of his or her library, puts into play tapped all land cards revealed this way, then removes the rest from the game.
Yep.
Yep, pretty good.
This card salts people a bit. Cultivate, I put in every deck I can, basically. We got 2 greens for a sorcery, search your library for up to 2 basic lands, reveal them. Put 1 into the battlefield tapped, the other into your hand and shuffle. I just love Cultivate. One of my favorite ramp cards.
Staple. Then we've got Cut a Deal, 2 white. Each opponent draws a card, then you draw a card for each opponent who drew a card this way.
I really like the flavor text on this one, too.
It's a win-win arrangement. I just happened to win.
That's to win the most. Yeah, basically you're drawing 4 for 3 mana. Or 3 for 3 mana, sorry.
Yeah.
And every opponent draws a card. I see no downsides to it. I think that's pretty solid.
No. Oh, absolutely.
I put Genesis Wave in as well because you've got a lot of permanents that I like hitting, and I just generally have a lot of mana in this deck, and I just like to Genesis Wave. X triple green. Reveal the top X cards of your library. You can put any number of permanents with CMC X or less from among them onto the battlefield, then all cards that weren't revealed this way into the graveyard. Okay. We do have a fairly large chunk of instant sorceries. Like, we've got 23 in total, but that's still only a 23% chance to miss, basically.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of cards that I really like hitting, so.
Next up, we've got Promise of Loyalty, 4 and a white. Each player puts a vow counter on a creature they control and sacrifices the rest. Each of those creatures can't attack you or planeswalkers you control for as long as it has a vow counter on it.
I think that this is a super powerful card.
So you're basically wanting to put the counter on your best creature so you don't have to get rid of it, but then that creature can't attack you.
Yes, exactly. So generally speaking, if you're doing a sacrifice, because a sacrifice is very different than a destroy.
Mm-hmm.
And the same, it's not targeting. There's no heroic interventioning around this.
Yeah.
People are going to be upset with you. And the fact that they can't attack you with those cards is really, really good. It's a very, very good way to clear the board in this deck.
Oh, absolutely.
But they will be upset about it for sure.
But hey, if you're able to get around being attacked by like a Blightsteel or something,
yeah,
they still have two other targets for it. It's fine.
Yeah, they still have the Blightsteel. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That we've got Secret Rendezvous as well. 1 double white. You and target opponent each draw 3 cards. Again, another 3 mana white draw. I don't care that it's giving opponents draw because I like to draw cards. It's really beneficial to me to have cards in my deck, and it's really beneficial to make friends by saying, don't swing at me and I'll let you draw 3 cards.
Yeah, exactly. Then we've got Tempt with Discovery, 3 in a green with Tempting Offer. Search your library for a land card put on the battlefield. Each opponent may search their library for a land card put on the battlefield. For each opponent who searches their library this way, search your library for a land card put on the battlefield. Then each player who searches the library this way shuffles it.
I love this card so much.
Yeah, I really like this one.
Everyone says, don't ever take the offer. At worst, I'm still getting the best land in my deck. At worst, I'm still going to go and get the Maze of Ith and save myself from dying to giant creatures.
That kind of reminds me, last week I was playing with my playgroup, and one of the players was playing, was it Tuvasa, I want to say.
Yeah.
And had an Expropriate, and obviously chose time to get the extra turn. And so we were talking about it, and I'm of the firm belief that you should always, always choose money.
The extra turn is rough.
And absolutely. They ended up getting 2 extra turns, a Turgrid, and my Will Hilt.
That's, yeah.
Out of it. And it was a little rough.
That's not a good day, yeah. The all attempting offer cards I really, really like, because again, they all have great effects, but they make you talk to the table. And I love to talk to the table. I never shut up.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so generally speaking, in a deck like this, like if you're playing a similar list, just tell them what you're going to get. I'm going to get Maze of Ith. I'm getting it regardless of what you guys get. I'll get a land as well. I might grab like a Makoro Koro, but there's nothing really crazy in the deck. I'm getting the best land already. All you're doing is hurting yourselves.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're getting exactly what you want anyway.
Yep.
So
the next one's another really cool one that I like playing a lot. It's from Strixhaven. It's 5 and a green. It's a sorcery. It's Verdant Mastery. You can pay 3 and a green rather than its cost. So you search your library for up to 4 basic lands, reveal them. Put one of them onto the battlefield tapped under an opponent's control if you paid the 4 mana. Put 2 of them onto the battlefield tapped under your control and the rest into your hand, then shuffle. I really, really like it. It's a Cultivate that's going to get you 4 lands at 6 mana. At worst, at best, it gets you 3 lands and an opponent 1 land. You can really, really help people out by giving them a land in a game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It is basic, right?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Yeah. That would be crazy. Ooh, the next one. I think you'll like this card.
I don't know if I've ever seen this one either. But it's a Weird Harvest. X double green. Each player may search his or her library for up to X creature cards, reveal those cards, put them on or into his or her hand. Then each player who searched his or her library this way shuffles it. Interesting. That's kind of...
I love it.
That's really good.
Yeah, you don't have to go get creatures, but if you want, I'm going to let you go get any 3 creatures from your deck.
Yeah.
Like I said, I love to see what people build. I love to see how people play. So I really like helping it go off with these group hug decks. And generally, if you can tutor 3 creatures to hand, you're in a real good spot.
Oh, absolutely.
Especially for no mana. Then we've got Wrath of God. 2 planes. You put all creatures into their owner's discard piles. This includes your creatures, which is destroy all creatures that can't be regenerated.
Yeah, I knew there was going to be something like that in here.
Yeah, you got to have A little more board clear if you can.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Now we'll jump into our, we'll do the instance of the deck and then we'll take it on home with the creatures because I love the creature section in this deck. So you can start us off here.
So the first one is Beast Within, 2 and a green. Destroy target permanent. His controller creates a 3/3 beast.
It's a great card.
Absolutely.
Hits anything. You can get rid of even problematic lands.
Mm-hmm. You can get rid of the Mazebith.
You could get rid of the Mazebith, make a beast. You could also, if you want to, just get rid of a treasure token. But generally speaking, it's going to be the creature that you let get out of control with those 2/1s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We've got Defend the Hearth, 1 and a green. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt to players this turn. So creatures can still die to this card, which is good. But you can save the table from actually dying.
Yeah. Then we've got Fog, single green. Prevent all combat damage that will be dealt this turn.
Yep. Also, Haze of Pollen, very on theme for what we're doing at the moment. 1 and a green. Mm-hmm. Prevent all combat damage will be dealt this turn. And this one has cycling, so again, later utility if you don't need it and you need that extra draw. But sometimes you got to stop people from killing you.
Yeah, exactly. Mercy Killing. 2 and a hybrid Selesnya. Target creature's controller sacrifices it, then puts X, 1/1 green and white elf warrior creature tokens into play, where X is that creature's power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes that's really good for a Blightsteel.
That's also really good when you've got your Ghostly Prison out, because you can get rid of a Blightsteel and land up having to pay
22
mana.
Generally speaking, this is my Avacyn killer.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah, like anything that's a big problem card. Mercy Killing really gets around it. You still have to be able to target it, but sacrifice is harsh.
Oh, yeah.
If someone had a Turgrid out, this would be even harsher. We also have Moment's Peace, which is 1 in the green. You can prevent all combat damage to be dealt this turn, and then it has Flashback for 2 in a green. We have a lot of prevent combat because we, although we're, like I've said many times, having fun, we're also policing the fun a little bit. Now you guys see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Then we've got Oblation, 2 and a white. The owner of target non-limit permanent shuffles it into his or her library, and then draws 2 cards.
Yeah. I should say, by the way, the reason, this is another aside, but I was just thinking about it that I didn't mention it. You don't really have to actually protect Glunch that much. His ability triggers at the end step, and if they try to kill it before the end step, you can just replay him. You have so much mana in this deck.
Yeah, and realistically,
him, it, whatever this jellyfish thing is.
Yeah, it, yeah.
Yeah. You can replay Glunch no problem, though, but they can't kill it in the end step in response to its trigger because it's already happening. So if they kill it, it pays its command tax itself anytime anyone wants to kill it.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, so it's. I just tell people that I'm like, you don't want to kill it. I'm just going to replay it, and then you're not going to get anything. And all you're doing is making it so everyone else doesn't get things.
Yeah, I feel like Glunch isn't going to be a big target because it does help everybody else so much as well.
Yeah, right. Like, it's not single target helping. It's helping everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, that was just inside. What one were we on?
Obscuring Haze.
Oh, you did Oblation. Okay. Yeah, Obscuring Haze, great card as well. It's 2 and a green, instant. If you control your commander, you can play it for free. And prevent all damage that would be dealt this turn by creatures your opponents control. So, again, if you are playing hyper-carry Glunch, then you can get him through him, it, her, whatever Glunch is. I don't know. But regardless.
I really think that this free spell cycle from Commander 20 needs a reprint.
Desperately. Because they're so good in decks.
I
honestly wouldn't even mind seeing more cards like this. I just didn't like the ability to counter spells for free. That I think was a little too strong to staple just in a pre-con deck.
Oh, yeah.
But again, if it was more accessible and more people just, then it might be better, right? Like, it just, I think it feels kind of bad because, again, it's an $80 card. A lot of people don't like to be free countered with $80 cards or Force of Will.
Yeah, Force of Will, Force of Negation.
Yeah, generally those are seen as some higher power stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This, I guess this also does the same thing, right? When you're doing your threat assessment and you try swing out at me and then I'm just like, oh, I will for free stop all combat damage.
Yeah.
It's
back on the line, like pre-cons too. I really think they should have reprinted this one with double masters like they do with Dockside.
Yep, Dockside finally getting a reprint is great because I think Dockside's a good card.
Oh yeah, it's definitely one of the best in the format right now for how the overall...
Well, it really accelerates you, right?
Oh yeah.
And the format is full of things that already do really accelerate you, so I don't even think it's a problem. It just Just a good card. A card that does a lot. Speaking of the next one, I wanted to take this one too because it's similar. So it's Prismatic Strands, first off. 2 and a white. You prevent all damage that sources of the color of your choice would deal this turn. That's awesome. But its ability to flashback is what makes this card truly phenomenal because it gives you another technically free cast. You tap an untapped white creature you control, and that's the cost. Yeah, so again, someone tries to swing out at you, and you just get glunch. And all damage, like all red sources, is a lot of things, right? That really will stop like the problem player. And it's not to you, it's to everyone. It prevents all damage. I really, really like Prismatic Strands for saving the table. And I really like it as a sleeper card sitting in your graveyard to save the table.
Yeah,
Prismatic Strands is actually one of my favorite cards in all of Magic because of that. I think it comes in clutch so often.
Oh, absolutely. Then we've got Respite. 1 and a green. Prevent all combat damage that would be dealt this turn. You gain 1 life for each attacking creature.
There is a definite theme in the instant section. I'm sorry. Yeah. I really also like this next card because this is... as many people who have listened for a long time know, like to threaten the table. And I like to tell people, if you do this, I will kill you. And Settle the Wreckage lets me follow through on that threat. If you swing at me, you will regret it. 2 mana, 2 colorless, 2 white. You exile all attacking creatures target player controls. That player may search for that many basic lands, puts them onto the battlefield, taps and shuffle. 1, it's a phenomenal way to exile the board of problem cards. Especially because I'm giving people, like with a Weird Harvest, everyone's able to go get all of the cards that they want into their hand. You're sometimes going to be faced with a real problem. But Settle the Wreckage gets rid of that, and still in a group hug way, because I'm like, listen, I warned you, but at least you'll get some basics.
Exactly.
I just love this card so much. I guess also as well, now that I'm looking at this, again, I'm just going back through my list. You could technically Mercy Killing your own Glunch and make like 80 elves. Mm-hmm. You could be a real problem. I like that. That's not what it was in there for, but it's cool that it can do that.
Yeah. And the final instant here is your temple is under attack. 2 and a white. You can choose 1, pray for protection. Creatures you control gain indestructible until end of turn, or strike a deal. You and target opponent each draw 2 cards.
Easy. Easy card in it. It saves your creatures if you need to, and you and target opponent draw 2 cards. So like I said, we're through most of our segments right now. We're not at our creatures, but Glunch on his own is already doing a lot with this, right? It really interacts pretty well with the deck. I'm pretty biased, obviously. I made the deck, but I think that it acts that way. Like, what do you think before we even get into our creatures here?
Yeah, so far I think it's really good. Glunch, kind of like we were talking in the spoiler episode, looks like a really, really fun commander. And this is a deck I want to play against.
It's just a blast to play at the table. I really, really like it. It's fun. I generally find that when I'm playing a deck like this, or this deck specifically, because I've reached for it in many play groups so far already.
Yeah.
I'm having a laugh with the table. It's a silly game. It's, in my opinion, it's what EDH is all supposed to be about. You're seeing huge things. You're seeing people have good times. Everyone's talking. I played this one when we were drinking pretty heavy, and that was a fun time.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And kind of like we were saying earlier, Glunch helps accelerate everybody, because nobody likes to just kind of sit at the table, another land, or the opposite, not drawing any lands, and Glunch can help in both scenarios, which is awesome.
I really like to, start the night off with a group hug game as often as I can for the following reason. Everyone has their own problems in their lives. Everyone's busy. Everyone's, you know, works there. Bills pile up. Like, everyone's got stuff going on. But Magic, for me, has always been a spot where you leave all that behind and you just come out with people who are looking to have a good time with you, right? And that's it. Many people look forward to going out, playing at their LGS. They look forward to seeing their friends on the weekend, because it's a great time for all of us to get together and just do something we commonly love without problems. It doesn't matter who you are, what you do, everyone's welcome to play Magic. I've always felt that way about Magic. It's just a game that can bring everyone together.
Yeah, exactly.
And like you were just saying, sometimes people stall out and it's kind of a bummer. Like, you've had a bad week, you're looking there and the deck you worked so hard on this deck all week. Generally, that's the deck they pull out, is what they just worked on, because they're so excited to play it. And if it doesn't go off, it's a little bit of a bummer. So sometimes it's just really nice to help people just get right in that great mood. Everyone's having a good time right off the bat. I love starting the night this way. And that's, I know I'm sounding like a broken record here, but I think that group hug decks are very valuable for that, right? You're not playing specifically to show how great you are at Magic. You're just playing to have fun with your friends in a deck like this, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
I think this one, like this commander, really, really embodies that, because it's doing it from the minute it hits the board. Everyone's having a bit more of an interesting game.
Yeah, and like when you see somebody, like even if you know that they've had like a hard week and you're kind of helping them out with like lunch, and then you see them go off and they're smiling and having a good time and just kind of leaving, like you said, leaving everything behind them.
Yep.
And it's not like playing against, and I know I play a lot of it, but stacks, it's not like playing against stacks where you are just kind of locking everything down. I feel like that's...
The week's been rough. Your boss is yelling at you, and turn one, I drop a Jeweled Lotus Urza.
Yeah.
And I go off with a static orb right after. I understand. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with every playstyle is legitimate, for sure, but I get it.
Yeah, some groups really don't like to play in stacks, especially if they're having a rough time, and everybody likes to play against group hug. Everybody likes to draw cards, get treasures.
Well, and you can kind of king make with this a little bit, right? So if you have a player in your play group, like if you play with the same people all the time, and they're not winning a ton of their games lately and stuff, you can just pump their creatures up, right? You can be secret rendezvousing with them. You can give them that tenuous truce so that they're drawing extra cards. Like you can really, really help people go off with a deck like this, right? Like the deck is going to help everyone, but you can definitely, in a deck like this, choose to help one person more than the other.
Oh, absolutely.
You can make friends and alliances.
Yeah. It's kind of like when I bring out Captain Gothrod and you bring out, what was his name?
Zelix, yeah.
Zelix, yeah.
No one's having fun with that deck. That deck is nuts. Really quickly, and another aside, I put an Altar of the Brood in that one. That is just the most fun way to play roulette. Somebody mills a creature. I get a creature. My creature enters. It mills three. I have three chances to hit a creature. I hit two creatures. Everyone mills two cards. Got six chances to hit a creature. It's very possible, depending on your play group, to just full mill the deck with an Altar of the Brood. Mm-hmm. I play a land. Everyone's milled. Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
Anyways, back into this. So our creature section is the last section of the deck. We've got 24. It's, I think, the biggest section in the deck. And it's only $31. I think it's a nice, cheap one. I think it's fun, and we'll jump right into it with Avacyn's Pilgrim. One green for a human monk, 1/1. It just taps for one white mana, just helping us get the game going.
Yeah. Then we got Baird, Steward of Argive, 2 double white for a 2/4 legendary human soldier with vigilance. Creatures can't attack you or a planeswalker you control unless his controller pays 1 for each of those creatures.
Mm-hmm. Also, another really good win con to put in this deck. If you want to win with your group hug deck, put in Finale of Glory, because you've got, again, so much mana, and getting like 20 angels is really good. And put in Luminarch Ascension if you want to go hard. If you want to just be silly, there's a great list for it. Obviously, every list I make can be edited to your own playstyle and probably made much better, really easy. But mine didn't have it. I just thought of that when I put Avacyn's Pilgrim. I was like, I do have too much mana in here. Sorry, back to Baird.
Oh, no, that was all. That was all for Baird.
Okay, yeah, just stops people from attacking us. Okay. We have Beckoning Will-O-Wisp, 2/1 colorless for a spirit, 1/3 with flying. It has Lure the Unwary. At the beginning of combat on your turn, choose an opponent. Creatures attacking the last chosen player get +1/+0.
It's a small side. It's 2/2.
2/2, sorry. What did I say?
2/2 colorless.
It is not 2/2 colorless. It is 2 colors, yeah. creatures attacking the last player chosen get +1/+0. So you can kind of direct the target a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I got to talk about this next one, because this is a phenomenal reprint that just happened, and this is great in this kind of deck. We've got Bramble Sovereign. It's 2/2 green for a 4/4 dryad. Whenever another non-token creature enters, you can pay 1 and a green. If you do, that creature's controller creates a token that's a copy of that creature. This card just shines in this deck.
Mm-hmm.
I keep talking Ur-Dragon because I've played this into an Ur-Dragon deck twice. I was able, in both of the games, to get their dragon doublers. I gave them token copies of them, so their dragons were 4 or less.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bramble Sovereign is awesome to be able to double up your own creatures, but it's also really, really good to just give people a second one. If it's in their deck, they probably like the creature.
Oh, absolutely.
You know how silly the game gets if you give someone a second Nyx Bloom Ancient?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, right? I love Bramble Sovereign. I think it does a lot. I think it's a great card, and it was so expensive for so long. Now it's like an $8 card. It's just super fun in any of these decks. It shines in like a deck like Riku or Rune, anything that's ETB, obviously for your own double up, but it's really fun to make friends with and just be like, you want a second Llanowar? Here you go.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love this card.
Next up, we've got Combat Calligrapher, 3 and a white for 3/3 Bird Cleric. With flying, Inklings can attack you or planeswalkers you control. Whenever a player attacks one or more, or one of your opponents, that attacking player creates a tapped 2/1 white and black Inkling creature token with flying that's attacking that opponent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that card a lot. I also really like this one because it hurts the table a little bit, but sometimes you just got to say, listen, it's easier to politics when you're destroying something of everyone's and not just one person. So we've got Druid of Purification. Yeah. 3/1 green for a 2/3 human druid. When it enters, starting with you, each player may choose an artifact or enchantment you don't control. Destroy each permanent chosen this way.
Yeah.
It's not good to lose your things, but listen, be like, I'm going to choose one of your things. You still get a choice. You'll get to blow something else up. Like, I'm sorry, but it's got to go, but here we go.
Wait, exactly. It's nice that everybody will get a chance with that one.
Yeah. I also love the flavor text of return to the earth and the wind.
Yeah. Next up, we've got Elvish Mystic, single green for a 1/1 elf druid, tap to add green.
Yep. We have Eternal Witness to get us back cards that we care about. 1 double green, human shaman, 2/1. When it enters, you can return target card from your graveyard to your hand. And again, a great target with Bramble Sovereign to get you some of those like secret rendezvous back or your cut a deal back.
Then we got Fertilit, 2 and a green for a 0/0 elemental. Enters the battlefield with 2+1/+1 counters on it. You can pay 1 and a green to remove a +1/+1 counter from Fertilit. Target player searches their library for a basic land card, puts it onto the battlefield tapped, and then shuffles.
Oh, this card just... So, generally speaking, you do it for yourself, right? But we got target player, we can go help people out, and we can constantly replenish the 1/1 counters on Fertilit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really, really like Fertilit's ability to do, like, the interaction with those two, that you can just keep doing it. You get the treasure tokens right at the end step if you need it for the mana. But you can really, really accelerate the game for someone. I get a Fertilit down. I say, Slothy, you can go search for a basic land, and here's two treasure tokens. That would drastically change the board state and what you can do for pretty much every deck I've ever seen.
Absolutely.
Yeah, if suddenly you are 3 mana ahead of where you are at, like that's essentially Jeweled Lotus good for free. You didn't do anything for it. You just were there. You got 3 free mana. It's a 3-turn acceleration at worst.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I love Fertilid's ability to do that. It's a great card, another MVP in this deck.
Speaking of great cards, I love this next one. It's Flumph, 1 and a white for a 0/4 jellyfish with defender and flying. Whenever Flumph is dealt damage, you and target opponent each draw a card, and it has an awesome flavor text. Flumps siphon thought and energy from evil aberrations and are often eager to share their dark knowledge they obtain with friendly adventurers.
I love it. Flump is really, really fun to play.
Mm-hmm.
Again, card draw, just an easy, it's a 0/4, swing at me and we'll both draw a card.
Yeah.
We've got another card that's given us card draw in Glade Muse, 2 and a green. Whenever a player casts a spell, if it's not their turn, that player draws a card, a 2/4.
Nice.
Yeah. Really, really good at like helping people who are playing like a spellslingery kind of deck replenish their hand a little bit. But it's also going to be good for us because we have 12 sorceries that we're trying to cast to save ourselves, right? And this gives us another chance to hit another one. I like this card a lot.
And this works pretty well with Vernal Equinox as well.
Yep.
And it lets you play like whatever creature enchantment is too. They could draw a card.
Yep. Oh, I didn't even think of that one, but yeah. Whenever a player has a spell, so you can start shooting out your enchantments and then drawing cards for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty good.
Next up, we've got Gyre Sage. 1 and a green for a 1/2 elf druid. It's got Evolve. So whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, if that creature has greater power or toughness than this creature, put a +1/+1 on this creature. Then you can tap it to add green for each +1/+1 counter on Gyre Sage.
Yeah, we've got so much stuff that puts counters on.
And a lot of things in this deck are bigger.
Also, like the Noble Heritage, that kind of stuff, it does give you as well. Like you can put counters on your own things.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, there's a lot of things that put counters on a deck like this. Like, an Ozolith might be good if you're going that route with it. But, yeah, like, Gyre Sage can get pretty out of control with how much it does.
Oh, yeah.
We've also got Hunted Wumpus, which is one of the cards I generally fetch when I Weird Harvest. It's three and a green. When it enters, each other player can put a creature from their hand onto the battlefield.
Nice.
Yeah. The flavor text, just one can feed a dozen people for a month. Do you want this next one here?
Yeah, I do. I love this card. Next up, we got Incubation Druid, one and a green for a 0/2 elf druid. Tap it to add one mana of any type that a land you control could produce. If Incubation Druid has a +1/+1 counter on it, add three mana of that type instead, and you can adapt three for three double green, which is just putting three +1/+1 counters on it if it has no +1/+1 counters on it.
Mm-hmm. I like Incubation Druid. It's really good early ramp.
Yeah.
Especially because basically at the end step of, like, if you're just playing on curve, if this is your turn two card, turn three at your end step, when you play Glunch, you've got an extra ability to tap for three mana.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like it a lot. We also have Jungle Wayfinder, another card that I think is super fun to play. Two and a green. When it enters, each player may search their library for a basic land, reveal it, put it into their hand, then shuffle.
Nice. Then we've got Llanowar Elves, single green for a 1/1 elf druid, tap tad green.
Yep. Mage of the Vineyard is our next one, and it's one that people really forget is playing, so you've got to remind people sometimes. It's one mana, one green mana for a 1/1 human wizard. At the beginning of each player's pre-combat main phase, add two mana to that player's mana pool.
Specifically two green.
Two green, yeah, sorry. Yeah, just extra ramp. Again, it's really fun in a deck like this because, like I said, with that other interaction of like a Furlid treasure token and I play Mages of the Vineyard, now you're going into your turn with five mana. It just, you know, like, hey, here's five more mana. Let's see what you can do with it. And a lot of decks can do a lot more with five mana, especially one of a basic land of your choice plus two treasure tokens.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, like a turn five is generally explosive in an eight EDH game. So I've put this next card in every deck I can lately.
This next card is Marching Duodrone, two mana for a 2/2 construct. Whenever Marching Duodrone attacks, each player creates a treasure token.
Love it. Love everything about it. Just again, great ramp. We're sharing the wealth with this deck, literally.
Yeah.
We also have Nils, and Nils is, again, a great card in this deck. It's going to be one that really saves you a lot of time. Nils, Discipline Enforcer, 2 and 1 white for a human cleric, 2/2. At the beginning of your end step, for each player, you put a 1/1 counter on up to one target creature that player controls. Again, you are included in this. You can put on your own. Each creature with one or more counters on it can't attack you or a planeswalker you control unless its controller pays X, where X is the number of counters on that creature. So this is just, I love Nils. I've always really enjoyed it. I really want to at some point make a 1/1 theme counter deck that's just made with Nils.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think that Nils does a lot, especially in a deck like this when you're giving out so many 1/1 counters, because you choose the player, they choose the creature, right? So you don't get a choose with Glunch that, like, oh, your Llanowar Elf gets +2/+2. Like, whoever you give it to, they choose a creature. So you're going to get hit. At a certain point, these giant creatures are coming at you. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, Nils is really, really good for defending you in that situation.
And next up, we've got Orzhov Advocist, 2 and a white for a 1/4 human advisor. At the beginning of your upkeep, each player may put 2 +1/+1 counters on a creature they control. If a player does, creatures that player control can attack you or planeswalkers you control until your next turn.
Yes, and you're also each player in this again.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. Like I said, there's a big 1/1 counter theme in this, and this is another cool card to double up with Bramble Sovereign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like that one a lot. We also have Scholarship Sponsor, which is, you don't really see it in many decks, but I just love playing this card. I think it's a great equalizer in games. 3 and 1 white for a human advisor. When it enters, each player who controls fewer lands than the player who controls the most lands searches their library for a number of basic, less than or equal to the difference, puts them onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffles.
Yeah.
I really, really like Scholarship Sponsor. And even if they don't want to go get basics, they're playing a 5-color deck that's full of dual lands or something, they still get a shuffle, right? So if people are flooded out, they get a pickup and shuffle.
Oh, yeah. Next up, we've got Sky Crier, 1 and a white for a 1/1 bird citizen with flying and lifelink. 3 and a white, you and target opponent each draw card.
Yeah. I like that card a lot. It's really, really fun to play. Then got, obviously, if we're playing a deck that's preventing so much combat damage, we can't not have a Spore Frog. We have one green for a 1/1 frog. You sacrifice four frog, prevent all combat damage that we dealt this turn.
Yeah. And the final card in the creature section is Windborn Muse, 3 and a white for a 2/3 spirit with flying. Creatures can attack you unless their controller pays 2 for each creature they control that is attacking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I am like I was saying and stuff, this deck, it's really, really easy to get everyone else going with it. You've got some fun. You've got a little sub 1/1 counters theme, like with Nils, the Advocate, all that kind of stuff. But like, this deck's going to get going really, really quick. Your average CMC in this deck's 2.94. You only have 2 cards at 6 CMC, 3 at 5. Like, pretty much everything in this you're going to be able to cast so, so easily. You've got just a ton of mana to do a ton of stuff with. You have a draw engine, so you don't stall out. Like, there's, and in white, that is an impressive feat, I would say. You, like I said, you could play this deck very, very differently than I did. This is just, for me, just raw group hug, raw hay table, have some fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my silly little list. What do you think of this deck, Sloppy?
I quite like this list. If I were to build this one, I would definitely have made it a lot meaner. I was thinking, because you're making so much mana, one thing to maybe add is some more offensive mana sinks, something like a Helix Pinnacle.
Yep.
Or something like an Ant Queen.
Yeah.
Just because then that might push it from being that second place deck, like you mentioned, to closing out some games.
White Oketra is a really, really good creature to add in this deck, especially with the ability to fetch it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a great mana sink. The same with Heliod. You could make a really, really fun cleric theme deck with this, because clerics are so good at damage prevention. So you could essentially remove all of my instant section and put clerics in the deck and have really, really fun, like, other interactions with it. Generally speaking, if I'm doing a green and white, my mana sinks are going to be stuff like Sacred Mesa or Luminarch Ascension. I just really, really like Luminarch Ascension for obvious reasons. It's a monster card.
Yeah,
there's a lot of ways to go. Like, with this as well, giving out your extra 1/1s, your treasure tokens every turn, you could go like a doubling season route and like parallel lives, and just then basically every end step you're getting 8 treasure tokens, and that is pretty impossible to come back from for a lot of players. If someone's getting 8 treasure tokens, Stryonic Resonator's the trigger, 16 treasure tokens at an end step, it's rough.
Okay.
But no, like I really like this. If Glunch had access to blue, this might be the best group hug commander ever printed, I would think.
Oh, absolutely.
Just, the ability to blue sun Zenith people, and like, I think it would be a great time that way.
I feel like, if it had blue in it, it would be up there with like Feldegriff.
Feldegriff, Kenrith, like any of those kind of common group hug ones, but I wish Glunch had blue in it, but you would have built, it would have been such a different deck, and I think maybe a little too easy to win with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but no, like I said, you don't have to build it in a second place way. I just really like playing this and stuff. I'm not out to win every EDH game. A lot of times I just want to be silly with my buddies.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, this is really fun. Hopefully we get some stream games going again in the next little while. I know it's been a bit since we've done some.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd really like to play this one on stream, and if there's anyone who was interested in seeing this one on stream, let us know, because you can see how often I threaten the table with this kind of a deck.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but that's the list for the week. I thought it was a fun one. I was gonna do Halson or Wilson. Those are another really fun one. I made a lot of decks with this. I think I made 30 decks from the new set. I have a problem. 5 of them are Wilson. But Glunch, like I said, it's, when I was looking at the deck we were going to do for the week and stuff, I just kept coming back to Glunch and saying, like, this is a really fun deck. And I just, not everyone has so many decks like I do and stuff, right? But I generally base how much I like a deck on how often I find myself reaching for the deck. And with Glunch, like I said, I'm grabbing it pretty much every week right now. Pretty much every time we go to play Magic, I'm just picking it up for at least 1 or 2 games. It's just been fun. I think it's probably going to be a permanent deck that comes with me. Like, I used to bring my Kenrith deck around for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is, I think it's awesome. Glunch is a little a little easier to bring around than my Kenrith, because it's only $143 if something was to happen to it, or not that $143 is cheap or anything, but it's very cheap compared to some things in Magic.
Yeah, it's a lot more, it's a lot easier to swallow losing $150 deck.
Yeah, it's a good deck to take out to an LGS, right? Like, especially if you're going somewhere you don't know, or if you're traveling. Like, if you're traveling, like, having some budget decks is really, really nice as well.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons that I like to build pretty much every deck that I do on a budget, just in case.
Yeah, just in case. I've had a great time playing this commander. It's, I think, a pretty basic group huggy list. I don't quite think many of the lists have gone the same route I did. I love stopping combat and saving the table, being the hero of the table that way.
Oh yeah.
But I think that you could do so many cool things with Glunch, especially with that ability, just having so much stapled on, like a three pronged end step ability on a 0/5 flying body is just great.
And for 3 mana.
Yeah. 3 mana, it's going to color fix for you for like the rest of the game, pretty much. I really, really like Glunch. You could have gone a little sillier and like done like the Chaos Wand kind of things, but I think it's balanced and makes everyone have a fun game.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do definitely think that you could really easily win with like an Approach of the Second Sun or like a token theme deck, because if you went like a Cather's Crusade landfall theme with Glunch as well, like you're gonna ramp up. The fact that you ramp from, again, if you're on, I know I'm ranting at this point, but the fact that if you go from 3 mana to 5 mana without playing another land, like your turn 4 having 6 mana available if you just have drawn 3 lands in your opening hand or 4 lands, it is really, really good. Like a 6 mana turn 3 potentially is good.
Oh, absolutely. And it really seems like in the last little bit, they're trying to
speed the game up a little.
Oh, absolutely. Speed the game up so much and bring white. Well, thought it was going to be back up to R, but seems to be shooting ahead of everybody else.
I still personally think they're going way too hard on the white. Everyone's like, oh no, white doesn't need all that. White needs all the help it can get. I don't think so. I think white's got a lot of angels.
I mean, as somebody who like 90% of my decks have white in them, which is kind of funny because I don't think any of the decks that I've talked about that I've made on this podcast have had white in them, but 90% of the decks that I build have white in them.
Yeah, you're like, white is the, I think it's a really, really strong supporting color.
Absolutely. Like mono white, it's a little rough. Or was.
Well, yeah, I do think that they've really, really got it going because like you said before, like a 3 mana draw 3 cards doesn't matter if you're ending up getting your giant angels out and stuff, right? The reason why it's slow is because it's annoying. And with how many treasure tokens they're like shoving in white, things like Attempting Contract, anything like that, like they are, and again, this is blasphemy in the community, but they're really making like land destruction strategies more and more interesting, right? You've got so many mono, because generally speaking, if you're playing land destruction, you're going to stall out. You have the least access to ramp. But now you've got all these cards, all these creatures that are like letting, if other people are ramping back out, you get your lands, you get your creatures, right? You've got all this access to cheap white card draw in those things. Like, I'm probably going to build a land destruction deck real soon.
Oh, the duality.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I like how I just spend an hour talking about Grubhug, and then I'm just like, you know what I should build? Land destruction. Wreck everyone's night. Game 1, I want everyone having a great time. Magic is for everyone. Game 2, everyone's crying.
Game 2, I want them to leave.
Yeah, exactly. Everyone gets to play 2 games of Magic with me. Yeah, no. I have some weird building ideas, yes. Like I said, I just really have fun with this Glunch. I didn't get a foil of this one initially because I was just like, oh, it'll be fine. I think I have an etched foil, but I want an actual foil of this one. The artwork's beautiful on the card. Glunch is a blast to play. I really think that you'll enjoy playing with or against a deck like this. And my very last point, I promise I'll stop talking. I really think that if you're the problem player in your play group that's salting people, you should build a group hug deck and at least bring it out, like kind of bring that salt back. If you're going to play like stacks all the time, maybe like help the table have a good time sometimes too.
Oh, exactly. Like, don't always bring out like Derevi or Alishnorn.
Derevi's rough. Yeah. It's funny you said that one of the players in our group has a mono white Elishnorn, and I've played Glunch into that a few times, and I keep giving him treasure tokens, and I keep regretting giving him treasure tokens every time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's you shouldn't do that. You should not give the Elishnorn player treasure tokens. But Glunch is a 0/5. Glunch lives pretty easy.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But then I keep giving him the 2/1/1 tokens, and then Elishnorn is like a, you know, it's like a 17/19. It's a, or 17/20 or something. It's a problem. I got to stop doing it. But yes, that's the list. Thank you guys so much for getting to the episode again. Really sorry about last week that we weren't here for an episode, but life gets in the way, and I hope everyone had a great week despite that. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Check out intothe99.com where all of our stuff goes up. We've got articles. Come into our Discord. We talk a lot about spoilers. The Master spoilers just happened. It seems like it's always spoiler season, so I'm sure there'll be another giant discussion about spoilers at some point soon. Chat with us on Instagram. We're really, really easy to chat with, and we respond a lot to messages and comments. We try to post as much as we can. Visit Abyss Proxy Shop if there's any really expensive cards that are just out of reach for the decks you want to build, and as long as you're not overbuilding the power of the table, then I think proxies are a great time. Again, thank you so much for listening. I hope everyone has a great week, and Sloth, you want to say bye?
Yeah, thanks for listening. Hope everybody's having a good weekend, staying safe. Happy Canada Day / Independence Day. Talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.